Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon, good evening, good night, anywhere, wherever you're hearing this. It's been so long since I came back to this podcast. There's been a lot happening, and then I couldn't really manage my time efficiently to come back and start doing all these things. But without anything, this is Daniel, and you are listening to the podcast of Sports Scientist. So today, it's not going to be about biomechanics, or it's not going to be about exercise physiology or sports nutrition. Today is a very interesting and yet less spoken about field of sports science. It is psychology. It is sports psychology. Sports psychology, though, in spite of having statistical significance to performance, it's not been followed by a lot of coaches. Let's stick on to one aspect, which is a very, very important aspect of psychology and performance, and that is mental toughness. So welcome to the podcast that says mental toughness, actually not a sidekick. The ultimatum of technical proficiency is to ensure that strength, endurance, and other training benefits are efficiently translated into effective improvisation of on-field performances. But wait, does psychology play a significant role in these translations? Well, let's find out. Amongst various psychological factors, mental toughness of a player has always been highly associated with their performance. This factor attributes performance translations via numerous pathways, which involves the scrutiny of the entire system. I would also like to quote, mental toughness is a measure of individual resilience and confidence that may predict success in sport, education, and even at the workplace. According to Dr. Alan Goldberg, appreciable levels of mental toughness can benefit the athlete via two major channels. One would be the ability to focus the flow of positive energy during crises and adversities, and the other would be the ability to think specific and appropriate course of actions under situations so as to hold the right attitudes regarding the problems, pressures, mistakes, and even during competitions. A strong interconnection exists between thoughts, feelings, and actions. We need to realize that our thoughts affect our feelings, and thus our feelings affect our actions. It's ultimately absolutely important to focus on mental toughness. Even during training, this provides a functional and it acts as a method of harnessing the power of the mind at complex situations. Mental toughness facilitates the ability to consistently perform at the upper range of one's talent, skill, and potential, regardless of the competitive circumstances that he is in. Both the athletes and the coaches can be benefited by knowing their level of mental toughness so that they can train in accordance. Personally, based on my observations during the coach time as a national rower, I noticed that a few rowers took it hard on bad performances and even losses, and it had a huge negative impact on their upcoming repechage events. Repechage events in rowing are generally the things that in rowing, they give you two chances where when if you lose one, you can come up and then win the other one. And then if the lot supports you, you're going to go in. So that's called repechage. All right. A lot among the existing psychological aspects are highly correlatable between the genders. So what we did, we decided to check this out with a proper scientific experiment for assessing the level of mental toughness amongst the athletes. So we place gender as the locus of interest here. The question to the answer was, if mental toughness portrayed any differences amongst the gender, and if it did, by how much did they vary? And if they did vary, and if they did have a significant amount of variance, did it have a huge impact on performance amongst genders? So what we did, on a curious note, we tested 30 national athletes from India who were administered with mental toughness questionnaire. The study population was composed of 15 males and 15 female athletes. This questionnaire was created by Dr. Alan Goldberg. It deduces the mental toughness levels by assessing the following parameters. 1. Ability to handle pressure. 2. Rebound ability. 3. Focus or concentration. 4. Confidence. 5. Motivation. The scores were marked in accordance with the questionnaires and the scoring information given by Dr. Alan Goldberg. The data was then run for a statistical ANOVA test. The test was quite surprising. The difference amongst the genders were not quite significant. The overall scores were quite higher with the males. Astonishingly, the numbers were not quite different. However, significant, not quite different. The only significant aspect was the ability to handle pressure, in which the male athletes were predominating. The overall scores depicted that the male possessed higher mental toughness levels than their female counterparts. Except for the ability to handle pressure factor, all the other factors had a very marginal, or let's say insignificant, difference amongst the genders. Though the male were topping with the scores, the difference wasn't significant statistically. We then concluded that in terms of statistics and science, mental skill seems to be a very essential factor for the athlete's success. I also felt that it is very crucial that the athlete and the coaches realize the importance of mental training and its effects on their performance. Well, there are a lot of ways to prepare one's mind. No one can have a schematic diagram and then say this is how you should prepare. But then the coaches can take the assistance of certified and knowledgeable sports psychologists to perfect the art of preparing the mental fitness of the athletes. Few of the suggestions or methods that are quite commonly used in various sports would include relaxation techniques, which will have breathing exercises and progressive muscle relaxation techniques, refocus routines, performance mantras, thought stopping, positive self-imagery, positive keywords, positive self-talk, setting goals based on the SMART protocol, S-M-A-R-T, as in specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and time-bound protocols, instead of having so senseless protocols. SMART theory makes it a bit more achievable and easier for the athletes, thus motivating. Well, there are numerous studies which prove listening to music, podcast, and even watching motivational movies can produce a positive effect on performance in a significant manner. Okay, now that we all know what's the thing with sports psychology and how effective it can produce performance statistically and scientifically, we all begin to wonder right now at this point in time that why aren't the coaches doing it? Why is it not being done? What is happening? Well, I can't say what is happening all over the world, but I can have a generalized representation of what's happening in India. Many might wonder if the effects of mental fitness is such important, or they are of such of significance. Why are many of the coaches not considering them on a serious note? Well, it's fairly true that most of the training programs and plans often missed out the schedules for the psychological assumptions and regards. Even if planned, the coaches do not emphasize or do not push in the importance of psychology to the athletes. A few coaches don't even believe that it works. And a few believe, in fact, they believe it's such a waste of time for diminutive outcome. Few coaches even proclaim that psychology is a lying business. They say it's a con art. But signs and numberings cannot be lying. I mean, signs and numbers cannot be lying. The calculations and science conjugately support the evidence that psychology is also a strong determining factor of athletic performance. And as straight as a die, it is not all a coach's fault. On a fair note, athletes' attitude varies a lot with mental training. Not all respond in a positive way, to be honest. The level of confidence is highly variable among athletes. The coaches, over a long term of experience and exposure, have evidently seen the negative side or the negative impacts of overconfidence as well. This is one of the main reasons that the coaches worry when it comes to sports psychology and mental training sessions with their athletes. They would never want to risk putting an athlete into overconfident levels. Whatever the excuse may be, it is with no doubt that the effects of psychology in athletic performance is often ignored. Be it a matter of doubt on the outcome or the fear of negative effects, their importance is significantly not seen in the area of sports. And as usually, the way I end my podcast with a take-home quote, there is definitely one agreeable fact, at least with the Indian athletic population, I would say. It is quite a cold play. It's quite a hard walk to maintain the balance between confidence and overconfidence for the athletes. And that is what I feel is one of the main reasons why few of the coaches try to avoid psychological interventions. And thus, I hope this is brought in, or this is given in, a good amount of insight to the importance or significance of sports psychology in an athlete's on-field performance. So I believe from now on, as a community, we should start supporting and we should start encouraging athletes, coaches, and even managers and sponsors to involve sports psychology as a training regimen in itself. We need to think broad and involve science in our daily performance and trainings and sessions. And if there is a bit of a chance to improve the athlete's performance, and I genuinely believe we have to take it as growing, budding sports scientists. So here is Daniel signing off from the Sports Scientist NIMS podcast. Please log in and check in the regular updates on the blog. I hope from now on, I'm challenging myself to be very consistent with my podcast and stuff. And thank you very much for the responses that I get over email. As I said, I am loving criticisms and I'm constantly trying to evolve. Thank you everyone who's supporting, and thank you for the budding sports science team and the newer sports scientists out there. Let's try and create a change using each and every aspect possible, and that is the whole agenda of whole of this blogging and podcasting stuff. Thank you all, it's been lovely, and see you around. This is Daniel signing off again. Bye-bye. Have a nice day.